jamming. trying to block it from my mind. I was so convinced I'd die without you once upon a time. Now my eyes are open and I can see you were devious and shady, only trifling with me.
La tierra, te inventaste un cuento, di que soy mujerólogo. Yo no soy nada de eso, lo que soy es rumberólogo.
te vi. Hai vivo adolescência e tentou a diferença. Foi difícil esquecer a garota mais bonita. Também era a mais rica, fazia de escravo.
This week's Calypso Showcase, where we feature a special two-part program on the reigning and undisputed Calypso King of the World, Dr. Sparrow. This week we talk to him here at the Hideaway. Next week you get him live in the studio. I'm impressed by the magnificent spread that you have here. But what is even more significant is that looking over your balcony, one can look straight at Kitchener's home from here.
Yes. Kitch always looking over here, you know. Yeah. I'm a partner, man.
We all could almost talk to each other long distance.
We shout long, loud and hard enough. He could hear me, you know.
You've been having a lot of shows, Sparrow in concert over the last few weeks. How has these shows been going for you?
Very well. Wall-to-wall people. Yeah, you know, we've really put on some good shows, you know.
And you have even more coming up for us?
Well, definitely. I'm working on a mid-year LP right now. Mm-hmm. That's the LP with Survival and some of the others. Then I have I put a nice medley on it, you know, and keep it hot and spicy, you know.
I hear a rumor that you're going to have a concert with Sugar Aloes. How true is that?
I think the rumor is true this time. Yeah, Aloes and I are going to square off, I think it's the 17th and 18th, Spectacular.
That should be interesting.
Well, yes, I already sent a threat to him last couple of days when they asked me about it, and I told them, I said, all he had to do is remember the hammer.
Well, I remember when I did an early interview, you said one thing. You said, you know, I interviewed Aloes on that day, and you said, tell them don't lean on my car.
Yes. You remember?
Yeah.
In Sando, I was just making a little joke and thing, you know. So all the guys came around and I said to them, look, don't lean on it, don't lean on it, you know. And it turned out that I was right.
All right, well, you know, on Calypso Showcase, we want to look at the life of the Calypsonian. We want to look at all the ups and downs and so on. First thing I want you to clarify for the benefit of our viewers, is your name Francisco Slinger or Slinger Francisco? I see some of the documents with it written both ways.
No. Francisco is last. Yo soy Francisco, Rio Tralado, Red Calypso, 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 sí. señor, Francisco. Right. Well, the family name is Francisco. Right. My first name is Slinger.
Tell us about the first 16 years of Sparrow. What was your childhood like, your youth, please?
Well, it's so long ago, it's hard to be correct. But I suppose it was very normal and regular. You know, you do your studies and you make your parents happy, and sometimes they get into a quarrel with you and that type of thing. But all in all, it was okay.
What school did you go to?
Well, I went to Mokrapu Boys when I was very, very young. I was, you know, ABC, kindergarten. And then on to New Tongue Boys, where I really finished. Mm-hmm. And my teacher, ex-teacher, Carl Jadunat, was revealing some of the things that happened to me a few days ago, which I couldn't remember. You know, he was talking about 1946, 47, when my father brought me to the school and wanted to have me enrolled and some of the things which I didn't know anything about. And from there, he was with me right through.
So it's common knowledge to everyone that you were actually born in Grenada. What age did you migrate to Trinidad?
Yeah, well, the family brought me over here to Trinidad when I was about a year and a half. You know, Trinidad in those days used to be like America is, you know, the America of the Caribbean. Yeah. And anytime you needed a lot in life, or you needed some improvement, you needed work, you had to come to Trinidad. And pretty much like Trinidadians do today, we all go to America and try to get green card and citizenship and to better ourselves.
Yeah, I remember once traveling abroad and someone of the islands told me, if I could just see Frederick Road, I'm business.
That's right. And I've traveled to all the different islands, and some of them are very, very nice. I feel that this part of the world is exceptionally nice.
Well, we want to get into the early years of your Calypso and tour. Many people, 1956 started for you, but in fact, the year before 1955, you sang two Calypsos. Can you recall that?
1955, I came out with The High Cost of Living, Ruby Where the Baby Disappear, and Racetrack Scandal.
Could you remember any of those calypsos?
Yes, I think I could remember. I usually try to remember The High Cost of Living, you know. The high cost of living, higher than a mountain. People like me and you, so just had to stand up and watch the goods at high low. I think that's the chorus.
Yes, I remember that actually.
Yeah. Where the baby disappear, it cannot be for. That has something to do with abortion in a form.
All right, but
illegal abortion, that is, yes.
But 1956 is the start of the Mighty Sparrow's career, as far as we are concerned, with that tune, Gene and Dinah. We want the story of Gene and Dinah.
Well, that was the original both of them. Gene and Dinah. Well, it was four of them. Gene and Dinah, Rosita and Clementina. Well, actually, that was a commercial. I had made a commercial for Salvatore Scott and Company. I always keep telling people, you know, that during the days when I used to be up and down in Port of Spain, regular, just moving up and down, and a melody in my head, Salvatore Scott and Company, limited, Salvatore Scott and Company, limited, you know, just a little melody. Mm. And in those days, you had people like Melody and Small Island Pride and some of these guys advertising for Hilo and Glamour Girl Lingerie and so on. And, you know, I thought, well, Salvatore should be advertising. They're bigger and they seem more prosperous. And, you know, why aren't they advertising? So I made up this thing.
Gene and Dinah, Rosita and Clementina came to me one morning after they complete their shopping. They tell me, honey, I never had more luxury, more than when I stopped and went in at Salvatore to shop.
But the tune in my head. And when the Yankees coincidentally had to leave at that same time, I got the idea one time.
Well, the girls in town feeling bad. No more Yankees in Trinidad. They go close down the base for good. Them girls have to make out how they could. Better is now they pack up in town. In for a penny and in for a pound. Believe me, it's competition. So trouble in the town with the price drop low. So when you bounce up, Gene and Dinah, Rosita and Clementina, why are you gonna call them posing? Bet you life is something they're selling. Catch them broke, you can get them. The Yankees lost.
Can you relive some of the excitement of that year for us?
Well, I can't remember in every detail, but, you know, when I went up there, I really weren't too particular about winning. I had been with the Calypsonians who say, you know, I've been up there four times, I never win, this time I've been seven times, you never win, and so on. So when I got my break there, I figured, well, no big thing. If I win, I may have another chance. So I went out there and just let it all hang out and throw up my hat in the air and carry on and start to, when I heard the people start to react and think, I was a little bit, you know, pleasantly surprised, you know. Yeah. I said, well, like I'm doing something good. And every verse, man. And then the marcher died behind, boom, wah, boom, wah. And I got the energy and I continued to drive it home.
And the verse that stands out of mine is the Glamour Boys Again.
Glamour Boys Again. We are going to rule for the spit.
Real action started. There was no doubt after that. Now, as early as 1957, you started to show that you were the type of Calypsonians going to stand up for the rights of the Calypsonians, because you decided you're going to boycott the competition. Why did you do this?
Well, I figured that Calypso, to me, it was so important and Calypsonians were so special that it should be treated better. And when you check on the prizes, I never really knew what the prize money was before Gene and Dinah. Mm-hmm. And after I won, and then I got to receive that prize with $40 and a cup from Angostura, I was a little disappointed then, you know. But just the same, the glory of it all was there, and, you know, I was happy with that. And immediately after, you know, the Calypsonians got together, there were a lot of grumblings and, you know, people dissatisfied. But they wouldn't tell the organizers anything. In those days, it was the Guardian Neediest Cases Fund. It wasn't the Carnival Committee, as some people think. And we decided that next year, 57, we ain't going. But I serious. These, some of them guys are making joke.
Right.
And what I did was to organize with a guy named Vivian Lee, a promoter. I think he was originally from Guyana. And he came over and promoted something, a Calypso King competition in Globe Cinema, 1957. Some of the other guys went to the Savannah. Well, I won that one in Globe.
Yeah.
Seem like we're in for turbulent weather here, boy.
That's all right. We can deal with it.
Yeah.
All right, so we come inside of your home now.
Yes. Welcome home.
Nice being inside. Why are you afraid outside, so?
Red, boy, red.
And Kitch looking at you.
Actually, what happened is I was told that Jazzy gave Kitchener a pair of binoculars for Carnival. And you see your kids living right across there? I don't know what he could do with his binoculars. So I ordered some new drapes from Miss Baldwin, but I ain't get it yet. So until I get the drapes, let me stay inside. Keep away from Kitch eye.
This is a beautiful room inside here. I love that picture on the wall there with all the Calypsonians this year. Yeah. Those who have won the Calypso Monarch title over the years. You have people like Crow Crow, David Rudder.
Penguin, Scrunter, Stalin, Chalky, Kitch, Juke, Terra, Striker, that's me there, and Tiger and Pretender.
1958, another road march for you, pay as you earn. You were not in competition yet, you were still on boycott, but you were able to win the road march.
We were boycotting the competitions, and but still, you know, you really can't boycott the road march. As once you have your song out there, it's up to the people if they like it and they want to use it. So it's not like now where the road march is so orchestrated, so organized, and, you know, people know what they want to play or by whom they want to play for before the Carnival even becomes a reality.
Now, there are two songs that you sang in 1950 that have been personal favorites of mine. Now, you don't sing it so much in competition and on shows. I don't know why.
Which one is that?
Teresa and Russian Satellite. Beautiful tunes.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. I have to come back to these things, you know. I like Teresa in particular because it, you know, it was the first attempt I had in using a little bit of